All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, June 27th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it is beautiful wherever you are at. It is the start of a new week. Had a great weekend, you know, hanging out, right? Getting to have a lot of fun, enjoying this summer. We got to do some paddling on Sunday. It was really cool. They had a big race on Saturday, so Sunday morning we had to get the boats put back off the trailer, back into their cradles next to the beach, which was awesome. Then we did go for a great paddle afterwards, did 7.25 miles. Awesome, you know, just fantastic. Really, you know, sometimes I do things just so I can be part of, right? I used to drink, right, so I could be part of. That worked for a while, but in the end, it did not work too well at the end. And so I like to try to do things, right, so I can participate, right, so I can sometimes push through these little, I don't know, these barriers of fear, which, you know, definitely in the past would have told me, do not do that. That is not for you. You are not good enough. It's never going to work. And the cool thing for me, at least for getting sober and serene, right, is that I don't have to listen to those voices, right? I can try it. I can do it. There's nothing. Listen, if I'm not good at it, you know, the repercussions may be that I just have a little bit of embarrassment, right? Maybe I'm just not quite as good, but I'm trying and I'm participating and I really enjoy it. And, you know, I give it all to being sober, really, to getting to do this paddling. You know, sort of leads me into the topic for at least for today. And, you know, we are starting a new week. Went to a meeting last night and the meeting was on the ninth step, right? And the ninth step reads, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I'm like, yes, it's a great step. I'm sure we all love it, right? And so I went to the meeting last night and we read it. Small meeting. We read it. All the same people, right? A lot of it's a small meeting. It's funny, this little clubhouse that we go to for this meeting, it's a great environment. It's a great meeting, but for some reason the place smells a little, right? Makes sense. And I don't really, it doesn't, I've been going to this meeting for almost 30 years. It doesn't really bug me. You know, I've smelled worse stuff. But it does have, you know, it's a little building that's kind of back in the woods. I don't know. They blame it on a snake. They blame it on dead things. I don't know. But it does have a little smell. But it's funny because a lot of people won't go to this meeting because of the smell. And I laugh, right? It cracks me the fuck up that people, you know, I'll just talk about myself, right? The person that I was and where I was at, if that little smell was the least of my problems, shame on me, right? Shame on me. Because the fact is that, you know, we get sober and then all of a sudden we start to get our specialness back. I know I did, right? I'm living in my car. I'm hanging out with fucking, you know, the bottom of the barrel, right? I'm doing bottom of the barrel stuff. I'm sure I smelled, right? And then I want to get a little bit of clean time and then all of a sudden I don't want to go to a meeting because of the smell of a room. Hey, it ain't perfect, right? I always laugh, or I laugh to myself when I think about what that first meeting at Bill's house was like. You know, I think it talks about people throwing up, you know, laying around. They drug in a bunch of bums. I don't know the exact details, but it was desperate, right? And, you know, but they did it because the point is we have to stay sober. And then the reality is that we need to be there for the next person. And that's another thing I'm sort of fucking having an issue with is people that get time that don't go to meetings, right? Or only go to a meeting or only go to a couple meetings. It's not my business, but we are here for the next person. And, you know, I think I know one guy that's, you know, he won't fucking hesitate to tell you he's got 32 years, right? I got 32 years. I got 35 years. But goes to one Zoom meeting a week. That doesn't cut it for me. Right, you need to go to more, but I didn't get sober to spend my life in meetings. No, but you got sober because someone was there when you needed them, and now your job is to be there for the next alcoholic. And some people forget that. So that for some reason that bugs me. I need to work on it. I need to let it go. That was it. I shared it, right? I let it out, and now I cut it in half. It's over. But that has been bothering me. You know, these people love to tell you how much time they got, right? I spoke with some, you know, and there's sort of this, you know, when the pandemic started, you know, the Zoom meetings did start, and people do love them. And I said, that's fantastic, right? That's a great option for when we're in a pandemic. But it's over, right? The pandemic's over. Get off your ass and go to a fucking meeting. Stop sitting in your fucking living room watching the computer. And I know, I don't know, maybe people find that offensive. I don't really care. The point of going to meetings and being sober is to be inconvenienced, right? Inconvenienced. And sitting on your couch in front of the computer. Now, if you have no way to get to a meeting, right, then it's better than nothing. But we didn't have Zoom before, and we were fine. And now all of a sudden everybody needs Zoom. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me how they started 5 Zoom meetings. I'm like, for what? For fucking what? Get off your ass and go to a fucking meeting. Or don't. I don't. Whatever. But yeah, so 9th step. Started the 9th step yesterday, and it's a great step. You know, but listening to the people discuss and talk about the 9th step in the meeting, it's kind of funny because not everybody's really into the 9th step, right? I hear a lot of people explain to me why the 9th step isn't really a big deal, right? Only had a couple people. And, you know, they just don't really want to apologize, right? They just don't want to make an amends. I think someone said the definition of amends is to start over. I didn't know that. For me, the definition, or what, I don't know if it's a definition, but for me, what it means to me is accountability. Big Wave, Pearl Jam. Oh, that's a great album. But yeah, so anyway, I just, you know, I went to the meeting last night, and what I shared last night and what I feel went on or goes on in my life is that, you know, because a lot of people, I'm feeling like, I shouldn't even say that. There's some people, you know, they just like to be sober, right? And they're happy with that, right? And there's people that are around them that are happy with that. I personally was fucking terrible as a human being before I got sober. I was broken. I was full of self. I was completely oblivious to my condition. And I was like a fucking parasite. Right? I fed off people. My money, either I worked or I got money from my parents, right? It was a parasite to my parents. I was so full of self that I had no clue, right? And so there are people that come. I'm always amazed, or I'm sort of surprised when I hear about people that are getting sober that have a family, right, that have kids, that have a wife, career, business, whatever it is, I was so fucking bad. I couldn't get shit. I couldn't do a damn thing. I barely fucking had a job. I was selling drugs, right? I'm hanging out with the shittiest of the shitty people. I'm sure that we're all good people, right? But we'd all gotten off the path a bit. But, you know, like I shared last night, every drug, every relationship, everything I, you know, back then, you know, whether I'm stealing time or peace of mind or bullshit out of fucking dumpsters, you know, everything that I did back then, every drug that I did, every drug that I sold, right? Every bad relationship, every bar fight, every car crash, every bad decision, I had a choice, right? I had a choice. I could have either done that or done not that, right? I could have chosen not to do it. Like today, I use myself today as a pretty decent example of what I feel like most humans should sort of live like. And I'm not special or great, but I feel like I'm pretty vanilla, right? I'm pretty simple. You know, oh, I'm not doing that, right? I'm not drinking. I'm not going to go out partying. Nope. You know, I stay home. You know, I go to meetings. I have relationships with people. And, you know, I have my family. It's all pretty vanilla, pretty boring, right? But back in those days, I was very self-centered because every decision that I made that I chose to do had a repercussion that affected somebody, right? You know, if I'm selling drugs in California, who's that affecting the state, right? I'm not helping out with the state of California by selling drugs. It's not, I'm part of the problem. I'm not part of the solution. But, you know, doing drugs, driving, drinking and driving, fights, you know, I'm inconvenienced police, right? It's, you know, my decisions had repercussions that I just didn't consider, right? Because self-centered people don't. Self-centered people do not consider who's getting hurt in all of this, right? I mean, I remember as a kid sneaking out of the fucking house at 1 a.m, heading off on an adventure, hoping to be home before the sun came up. But can you imagine my parents had woken up and found my bed empty? How awful they'd have felt. Where's our son? He's on. I mean, the worry. I mean, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking, or I was thinking about me. And so when I came into this program, I needed all of this. Everything that went along with all of these steps, I needed it. Because I had no clue. I was oblivious. I was broken. I was, I had no teachings, right? You know, I'd had a little bit of schooling, but early in my high school career, we sort of split apart, you know, me and the education system. So I really was going out there blindly. And at that point, no one really wanted to give me any effort, right? Because I didn't care. I say, people like to participate with people that like to participate. And I did not want to participate in anything that those people wanted to talk about. So I was just out on my own. I was a mess. And so when I came into this program, and I've shared this before, I've done it twice, right? I came in as a victim. I came in as a person that was sentenced. I came in as a person that got caught again, right? Caught one more time. You got to go to rehab, right? And, no accountability when that happens. Oh, they caught me, son of a bitch, right? I didn't have anything to do with it. They caught me. And since they caught me, I'm going to have to negotiate my way out of this jam again, usually probably going to rehab or jail institutions or something like that. And so we get sentenced. And when we're a victim of that, then we close off all of our openness to learn, right? We do things to get off the conviction, not to help learn from the conviction. And that's how I was. So I was sentenced as a victim of alcoholism, and I learned exactly what I was supposed to learn in that state of mind. But you know, when you look at the ninth step, and people last night were very poo-pooing about the ninth step. I don't understand why I have to make an amends to somebody. And you know, for me, I was so fucked up. I was so fucked up. You know, when I got sober, I had nothing, right? I didn't have a family. I didn't have children, right? I didn't have a career. I was a bum. You know, I was a bum, and my parents were helping me manage to not become a complete on-the-streets bum. But, you know, I did just enough for them to help me out, but not very much. And so I just had nothing, right? I was the bottom of the barrel. And so when I came in, I needed these steps. And when I started at the first step and I worked my way right up into the ninth step, you know, but making that list of all the people we had harmed, I shared this the other day. I had to make a list of all the people that had harmed me because as a self-centered person, I couldn't see if I had harmed somebody. Yeah, of course I harmed my parents, right? Of course I had harmed my boss. But who else, right? I couldn't find them, right? I couldn't pick them out. But if I made a list of all the people that had harmed me, like the cops at the bar, right? Like the guy that punched me at the house. All of a sudden, this list started to get longer. But I had to make a, I had to be willing to take a look at it, right? I had to be willing to say, hey, maybe I played a part in this. Hey, maybe it's actually my own fucking fault. But self-centered people don't do that. And that's what I was. And so this step, you know, and as I shared this last night, I came in a broken, wounded, open source, right? And I don't mean literally. I just mean my life and the path behind me was just full of wreckage and open sores, open wounds. And this step was helpful because it allowed me to have closure. You know, when you start coming into this program and you start trying to work these steps, there's a reason. There's a guy, I won't say his name, but he's been in and out, right? And so there was a time where, you know, I was leading this Friday night meeting and this guy was sort of hanging on there. You know, he'd come in, right? And he would, you know, got a little bit of time and then he went back out, right? And he came back in and he was doing good, right? I'm like, I remember when I got my first commitment to make coffee, it sort of made me feel part of a group, right? It just gave me a little bit more to stay for, right? And so I've been leading that Friday night meeting, and I told him, I go, why don't you do this meeting, man? Why don't you take this meeting? If you can't find a speaker, I'll speak for you. So that this person can start to feel part of, right? Be part of the group. And it was going good, and then he fucking went back out. Right? Went back out. Him and I had a conversation the other day and, you know, unfortunately he was so angry, right? He was so angry. And I've been there, right? I have been there. Sons of bitches did this to me, right? This isn't my fault. It's all of these people, right? They won't get off my back. I've been there. But this was to me, this eighth and ninth step really is for me was really about being accountable, right? And understanding that I have caused more shit. I've caused the shit that I can recognize, and then there's a lot of shit that I've caused that I didn't recognize. And one of the, you know, being accountable, right, having some humility, right? You'll come to these situations. I've come to these situations where, you know, maybe I'm not completely at fault. Maybe the other person did play a bigger role, right? But I like to come, you know, I like to try to be in the position that regardless, it's still my fault. Right, I still played a role. Like I'm not going to go back and forth over spilled milk. Right, it's a bunch of. It's not necessary. It's a waste of time to go over. I would rather just be like, listen, I played a role in this. I apologize. Right, I want to move past it. You know, I don't want to have open sores. When I came to this program, I had a lot of open sores, and these two steps, 8 and 9, you know, allow us to. Allow me to clean it up, to let this shit heal up, right? You find out what you did. You reach out to the people when you can, right? And it says that. It says it in the thing. It says, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, right? And yeah, I don't think you want to come clean with your darkest secrets to, you know, if you're in a relationship and unfortunately some bad things happen during it. You know, talk to your sponsor, right? Sit down with your sponsor before you dump all of your bad memories into your partner or family member's lap without having a conversation, right? We have to be careful, right? We don't need to injure them or others. We don't need to devastate the world. So, you know, work with a sponsor. But this was about cleaning it up, right? This is the, you know, where I can go back and say, you know, hey, man, I screwed that up. I apologize. And like the person said last night, some people aren't all on board, right? Not everybody's on board with you getting better. They appreciate it, but just because you get better doesn't mean they're going to put you up on their shoulders and parade you around, right? Because they've heard this before. So it is a process, but I think for a guy like me who was broken, I needed to be reprogrammed. I never learned how to be a mature or even half mature, right? Just a humble human, right? I spent my whole life me. And when you're like that, because I was like that, I couldn't see anything else. I could not see anything else. And so these steps are huge for me. There are people, I said this last night, you know, maybe we should have like AA light, right? Or a light program where you just basically come in, you don't drink. Step one, don't drink. Step two, be happy, right? It seems like there are people that think that that would work for them. Maybe it does. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. There are people that come in that don't need all these steps, right? Or at least that's what they say. Maybe they don't. I do, right? I do. Because I just didn't learn anything. I got started into this behavior at such an early age that I didn't understand what it's like to... And I had, you know, the other thing is that I had great examples in my life with my parents, but we weren't around to see the example, right? We're always out doing something, you know, out running around. I mean, I moved out at 17. You know, I didn't get to be around my dad that long because, you know, my desire to go chase the party, right? So I moved out early so we could party. It was bad. And so I needed these steps. I love each one of these steps. I went through them sort of the other day, you know, and for a broken guy like myself, it's great to start right at the beginning, you know, the number one step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, you know. And the other thing is that, you know, and I've shared this in the past, you know, when I did come in, I was sentenced. The second time in, I came in, I got to, right? I finally wanted it. I'd had enough. I'm tired of being a victim of alcoholism. I'm tired of being a victim, period, right? And I think this step allows us to not be a victim, allows accountability. You know, my buddy Matt used to say, I'm not a victim today. I'm not a victim today, right? I am not a victim today. And this step allows us to move and clean up our past, and it's pretty awesome. All right, let's see if we can do a little reading, and then I'll get out of here. I gotta go work today, which is good. Grateful, gratitude. Had a great day yesterday. Just kind of hung out. It's awesome, relaxed. Got my e-bike fixed. Yay! All right, what is today? June 27th. Conforming to the AA way. We obey AA steps and traditions because we really want them for ourselves. It is no longer a question of good or evil. We conform because we genuinely want to conform. Such is our process of growth in unity and function. Such is the evidence of God's grace and loving and love among us. AA Comes of Age, page 106. It is fun to watch myself grow in AA. I fought conformity to AA's principles from the moment I entered, but I learned from the pain of my belligerence that in choosing to live the AA way of life, I opened myself to God's grace and love. Then I began to know the full meaning of being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's special. That's good stuff. That does happen. That happened to me, right? That happened to me. I mean, at some point, you have to sort of surrender to this program, right? I sort of have to, not really to the program. I guess I have to surrender to self, right? I have to finally give up, throw my towel in, say, that's it. I'm ready. I want it all. I want to learn what I can learn. And it's amazing. And the ninth step to me is such a big deal because I know for a guy that came in, I guess I got sober the first time at 26. And, you know, I had so much shit in my life at that time that, and to be honest, I didn't understand these steps. These steps really started to become, I've become a better understanding just in really the last few years. I know that sounds weird, but I've been doing this program a long time, and finally these steps are starting to make sense to me. And I think what's really happening is I'm finally surrendering, right? I'm finally letting go. I'm finally taking the accountability, right? I'm starting to recognize, you know, it's starting to all make sense. And, you know, the accountability part is a big deal. And so, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got for today. Check out the 9-step. I hope it is these steps work for you in your life, right? I hope that you haven't closed your mind off to trying these steps. You know, my buddy who was, you know, went back out, he is struggling. They had to take him and put him into a 72-hour hold. You know, it is not better out there. And, you know, that's kind of another thing that's going on is I'm very frustrated by this guy going back out, because I feel like I've really tried to put a lot of effort, you know, really trying to just remind him, man, you're doing a great job. I'm not that bummed. This ain't the first time that someone's gone back out, but it's just frustrating because it's just a disease, right? To me, it's being possessed by the fucking devil, and the devil has some strong claws. And, you know, it's amazing that people will choose to keep going back out when they even, like, I think he might have had, I don't know how many days he had, 50 days. I mean, that's not a lot of time, but that's a big chunk of time, right? Especially if you barely can get a day. And to see him go back out and to see him sort of set it up, right? And, you know, but when I would have conversations with him and I'd be like, you know, you can't let these things bother you. Oh, they fucking bother me. I'm like, man, when you talk to someone like that, you just see where a step or these steps will start to help a person like this, right? Because a lot of times, you know, it's everybody else's fault, right? This person did this to me. Because of this person, I'm here, right? So-and-so told on me. This is why I ended up here, right? They're victims. And there's no accountability. And this is sort of how this guy was. And I would try to talk to him, but he was just so infuriated with the situation that I'm like, hey, not going to talk about that. You know, it ain't worth talking about right now. Let's just focus on getting some time, right? But yeah, it ate him up and he went back out. So, oh well. Anyway, sorry for the lecture. Right. I appreciate these steps. And I was a little frustrated last night because people were sort of poo-pooing this step. Like, I don't understand what's so important, you know, about making amends. And, yeah, I can understand you thinking that if that's the headspace you're in. But for me, I see completely how important it is. It just starts to clean up all of our shit in our life. And that's important, man. Life's hard enough. Especially not carrying around the past. All right, later.